So yeah, I just wanted to start off and being like, maybe somebody who clicked on this might know that you're Irish obviously and living in Bali and have been doing for quite a while. And when I say living, it's probably where you spend your most time. That's probably
I know that's the question of trying to be everyone's like, where do you live? And I'm like, I don't know. I kind of settled on Bali. Like, I've been traveling around for the last 2 years, if not more, maybe nearly 3 years. And I never really, I actually thought I was going to stay in Thailand forever. And then as soon as I got to Bali, I was like, yeah, I think I really like it here. But I also then didn't want to settle because I was like, what if there's nicer places or what if there's a better lifestyle somewhere else? And I have gone to try other places. I didn't even want to go to Australia when I first went because I was so happy in Bali, and I'm glad I went because it made me realize that, yeah, I prefer Bali. So I've just been kind of floating around and I just kept coming back here. And then eventually I took out a long lease on a villa here, and I was kind of getting all settled there. And then in March, I kind of panicked and thought the safest place to be was in Ireland. So I went back home, but I've just gotten back here 2 weeks ago, I think. Actually, I think it's 3 weeks today. And I'm just so happy. Like, it's just perfect.
Yeah. It just seems to suit, because again, just to give some background, like, you haven't really lived in a home or had a base for a number of years. And I don't think that you plan to do so anytime soon, but it just seems to suit your lifestyle.
Yeah. So that's what everyone here is, the typical digital nomads. You know, every cafe is just all laptops. It's all, I was going to say all young people, all people my age. But it's funny because everyone, it's such a different way of life. It's so different to Ireland. And it's not like, I still love home, and I had the best few months, like, just with the right attitude, being back at home for the last, I was there from March till August. And I love being at home, but just here suits me and my lifestyle choices a lot more. I do sometimes feel a bit at odds at home when I'm a 32-year-old with no life plan, no aim to get a mortgage, no home, and no partner, no kids, no want of kids. And I just feel like the odd one out, whereas here it's like everyone is just living differently. Not saying everyone's living like me, but just like there's families here, there's just so many crazy, weird things here that, like, if I even talked about at home, it'd be like, that's so strange. But I think everyone here is just really open-minded. It almost sounds like I'm slating home, but it's just the way we all grew up. You know, there's this kind of like the normal way to live with society. And I kind of started breaking societal norms over the last few years, and just, I suppose, I fit in here a little bit better. Any sense?
Yeah. So kind of like you mentioned there about mortgage and kids, and that was probably one of my first questions, because I feel a little bit of, even though Bali and New York are like polar opposites, but I feel a little bit of similarity in a sense that everyone here is also very much my age and kind of doing different things and have a lot of different life plans to the group of people I would have hung out with at home. And it's just like a different kind of perception or values on the day to day. But do you think kind of living up in the air, I suppose, and kind of living with no home and no kind of plans to get a mortgage and kids and a partner, do you think that that's, was that something that you thought about for a long time in a way?
One of the main things is when I was working, I had, you know, like, I'd gone to college, I studied actuarial mathematics. I wanted to be an actuary, mainly because actuaries are paid lots of money. And I had a good job in like a financial software company. But I just felt a bit lost. Like, I was kind of looking around saying, like, this cannot be it. I was 25 and I remember thinking, this can't be it for the next 40 years. But I just kind of got confused. I was like, but how come no one else is feeling like this? Like, I actually, you know, it felt like the world was rushing by me and I was sitting there. It felt like I was getting on the bus every day and the same people were sitting there for years. And I was like, is this it? And I didn't really know. I didn't know what else there was, but I just started questioning things and I started looking at other options. And I ended up doing recruitment for a year thinking it would be more social. And it's only when doing recruitment and I kind of just got very, very lost. I just didn't know what else I could possibly do with my degree. I just knew I wasn't in the right where I wanted to be. I didn't have a plan. But then someone said to me, "What do you really want to do?" And I was like, "I don't know, stay in the gym all day." So then someone's like, "Why don't you be a personal trainer?" And I was like, "Are you joking? Like, I went to university and I have a really good job. And why would I do that?" But I was actually so miserable that I gave it a go. There was a lot of coincidences that happened. But I bumped into an old boss who offered me a contract role while I did my PT course, like a contract role in the financial software company. And that was such a difficult decision for me to make, because it would have meant going back to my old job, you know, like taking a step back on the career ladder, going back with my tail between my legs, saying like, "Yeah, can I come back?" Because the hours were better. And like trying to explain that to people. But it was, so I told everyone, "Oh, it's because I'm going to pursue a career in fitness." And even at that, I wasn't even sure what I was doing. It wasn't like, again, a big calling. It was just something I was really interested in. And I said, and I was just in such a miserable place that I was like, right, why not give it a go? And I was in a place where I had no commitment. So I was in a place where I could risk, you know, I was like, worst case scenario, you know, claim social welfare and I can go back looking for another job in the office. That was like, okay, worst case scenario. Okay, let's go for it. And that's when, not to tell my whole life story, but that's when I started sharing my fitness journey on a separate Instagram account, because I was too embarrassed to share it on my own. And it blew up, but it took a lot of me having to go against societal norms, like even just deciding to stop drinking so I could get myself in shape. The only reason I wanted to get myself in shape was to advertise my business. Like obviously I'd moved back in with my parents. You know, I was 26, which I know now I'm like, I was actually so young, but at the time I felt like I should have been settling down. I kind of learned that everything, all these weird things I did, like things that would have been seen as against societal norms, were actually so rewarding. You know, I kind of went to crazy things like meetups on Instagram with people that I'd never met and did acting classes. Yeah. Just things that like my friends were kind of like, "What are you doing?" And then I realized that basically stepping outside my comfort zone was where the magic was. Like I just kind of was having so much. And over the years I realized it was really having to ignore what other people are thinking and what other people are doing, figuring out what I want, even though I'm never really sure, but just figuring out day to day what's going to make me happy today and doing that, and not feeling what I should be doing in terms of getting a mortgage or getting married or anything like that. I mean, never say never, but it's just not on the horizon for me at all.
Yeah. So like that, so many people can relate to that. Like so many young women can relate to like kind of get, I can picture you getting on the bus, because I worked in town for a while as well. And like just picturing getting on the bus and like that slog, like I've been there, like, yeah. And even though I do still work like quote unquote, like a 9 to 5, I just kind of, a lot of the stuff that I do is very different to what I probably would have done if I stayed in Dublin. But do you, like, can you talk to me a little bit about, or if this is the case, about having like FOMO for maybe thinking, "God, will I regret not saving, or will I regret not settling down?" Like, because I, even though I feel similar to you in a sense, like I do not want kids, I do not care for a house, I have no intention of being settled down. I just do not want it.
That's good. I mean, know what you want. It's such a valuable thing, because I think a lot of people don't know what they want. They're just following what society is telling them to do. Like when I drill down, I think it's a lot of time when I reflect on mortality and like, it's like, look at even at the universe and like how insignificant our little life is in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
And it's like, it doesn't matter if we screw it up. Like, it doesn't matter if, you know, we have a terrible career in the end, or, you know, we mess up the career ladder or anything like that. When it comes to having, like, it is a bit easier when you know you don't want to have kids, because obviously then there's no we're not on like a ticking time bomb that I know some of my other friends, and it's difficult for them that they do want kids and found the right person, because I think society's changing around dating as well. And you know, I do feel sorry for them, but I also, like, sometimes I do think to myself, like, God, I'd love a wedding, you know, like, for I love the celebration. I love the traditions. I love the celebrating of my friends and, you know, all the love that's shown to them. Like, I'm like, I would love that one day. You know, I'm not, I don't want a marriage, like, but I'd love that, you know, a celebration of my family coming together and having a hen party where all my friends get to go away and have the crack. And, or even just the celebrations we have for my friends that are having babies or getting engaged. Like, there's never a celebration for, I don't know, me going and living my best life. And that probably sounds a bit bitter, like, but it's just, it's something I've observed, is like that we celebrate, you know, weddings, babies, houses. And it's like, I've had friends who've gotten, you know, amazing promotions, and it's like, we should be celebrating as well. You know, like, they're succeeding in other ways of life, but I just think it's with society, we only celebrate the typical things. And I don't really have, like, sometimes I worry about the future. Yeah. Like, sometimes I've got to, you know, like, this isn't going to last. But I realized that, you know, being adaptable is, especially, and that's what I've noticed as well through the whole pandemic. It's like, people who are adaptable, I suppose, are the most peace of mind. If I was tied to a career, like, say, tied to being a fitness influencer now, like, I actually changed my name from OH Fitness on Instagram, because I was like, I'm so much more than that. And it's like, I know that whatever I can do, I can learn new skills, I know how to run a business, I know how to do anything. So it's like, I'm not going to worry about what I'm doing now. I'm not going to, like, sacrifice anything I'm doing now to worry about the future. I probably should save a little bit more. I do have a pension, like, which is just about, but I'm very much, like, in the moment, living my dream. Like, I keep thinking I could die tomorrow, but then at the same time, I'm not as scared of death, because I know I'm going out living my best life.
I think that as well, like, about death. Like, if I, as my grandfather used to say, pop off, if I pop off tomorrow, like, I wouldn't be scared of it or thinking that. Like, I feel like I have lived and, like, so much of what I wanted to do at most moments in time when it was available to me.
That's amazing. So, so many people can't say that.
I have no problem. I'm grand. I've had a good stint.
Right. I think a lot of people, and the reason I kind of always share that message is that, like, I just, you know, a lot of people, it's trying to find what's important to them, like, you know, what their values are in terms of security and future security. But just balancing that out, you know, like, there's a lot of people living for retirement, and it's like, it's not guaranteed. So you want to kind of balance what you're doing now to live in the moment, but also, of course, have the security if you need it for the family that you want, or the family you have. But I don't know. I probably have to find a better balance myself. But I mean, day to day now, I'm really happy. So I'm
like, no. And you touched on mortality there, and kind of being a blip in the universe. I know you do a lot of reading on spirituality and religion and kind of different perspectives on that. What have you kind of come to? What would be, if you feel comfortable, what would be your general belief about spirituality and mortality?
Wow, it's a deep question. I'm like, I mean, growing up, I was like so atheist. Well, actually, no, sorry. First of all, I was an altar server. Then I studied maths and physics and everything. And I was like atheist, like everything happens because of, you know, physics. But when I started traveling around Thailand, I kind of just felt the thing in the world, you know, and I'm going to sound so woo-woo now. It's like, oh, she moves to Bali and becomes a Buddhist. Buddhism is not the religion in Bali, but it was when I was traveling around Thailand, that's the way I felt. I decided to start learning about Buddhism. And the way I realized, I was like, this isn't a religion. It's more of a philosophy. It's all about kind of just going with the flow. Like, I haven't read up on it in a long time, but I remember reading some books on it. I was like, this is a way to live. I was like, if we were all Buddhists, I was gonna say Jesus, if we were all Buddhists, it's just quite a peaceful way of living. Cause I wanted to learn about why the people I was meeting in Southeast Asia were so kind. I felt so safe here. And, I put a lot of it down to the Buddhist religion. And then since then, I've just kind of been very much getting into meditation and just the power of just being really still with your mind. Now, I wouldn't say I'm religious at all. And even spirituality is probably a bit of a touch. Like, it's more so that I'm just really, I think just in touch with what's going on in my brain or like in my mind. Yeah. And I've been very calm and been able to identify what's going on with other people's minds as well. And, you know, been able to slow down. I think it's just being still, slowing down, having awareness in situations, looking for different perspectives. And that's just given me, and then also having this kind of confidence and faith in what I can do and the choices I've made and will make. And it's kind of just, it's brought me on this right path. I don't know if that makes any sense what I've just said, but it's just kind of having a bit of faith, hard work, and I think just being still and meditating is a huge part of just being content day to day. And I think that's
how much do you think about that we are just a tiny piece of the universe? Because I definitely step into that realm a lot. If something was stressing me out, I would kind of just go, oh, well, sure. I'm not a human. I'm more of a soul kind of, and I'm just kind of like this just energy in the universe. And I kind of, that kind of perception helps me guide my decisions and helps me let go and helps me say, oh, sure, doesn't matter. Just go for it. And then if it doesn't work out, it'll work out.
I know. And I think maybe it is being somewhere where we're less known, you know, than being in Ireland. Yeah. You know, probably making kind of crazy decisions, you have to run it by a lot more people, or, you know, again, step doing something different. Like I find over here, it's like no one knows me. It can be a bit more free. And I don't know. It's I don't really know, to be honest.
It's a hard question. Yeah. It's just interesting to hear someone. Yeah.
Like I do kind of think of like as an energy or soul and how it's going to, you know, I'm not afraid of death, but I also don't believe in a heaven, but I don't know what I believe in. I don't know what happens to other people when they die, but I kind of have this feeling that we're all this energy that's all never destroyed. But I mean, I'm not sure of anything, I'm always curious though. Like I love reading, I love learning more and more and listening to other people's beliefs and then making my own conclusions.
Yeah. To be open-minded is so, it's so beneficial and important as well.
Mm-hmm. I think the world would benefit a lot more from a lot more open-minded people.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's a beautiful thing to have, and it's also a great, you know, when you have people in your life that are open-minded, it's so refreshing.
Yeah, so. I feel like that's what I'm surrounded with here. Like even last Friday, a cacao ceremony. Have you ever heard of these?
No.
I didn't really know what it was. I'd seen before, I guess Daniela Moyles is holding them over lockdown. But my friend met her for coffee and she's like, going to a cacao ceremony tonight. And I was like, yeah, get me in. And it was like a medicine woman and her family. And we all drank cacao and meditated for 45 minutes. And I was just like, I don't know what I believe in terms of like anything like that. But I was just like, this is so magic. And it's just real open-minded, and you're lying in a room with loads of other really open-minded people. Like it was a weird experience, but it was just like, that was lovely. I mean, you know, some people obviously are very into it and they really would have kind of like seen it as a ceremony, where I was like, that was a lovely, lovely time to just relax with nice people, drink some cacao and meditate. It's
like, I know we don't give ourselves that time to kind of just let go, let the brain go and be still.
I know. Like I mean, and it's the people who can't meditate. I'm like, you really, really need to. You know, they're like, we can't sit still, or I can't quiet my mind. I'm like, you don't get good at it. You don't get good at it without practice. But I just think, I suppose when you're reflecting on what you are and everything as well, I think a lot of people don't even stop and consider like that there's a voice in their head, or you know, like they're just kind of always on the go and always reading things, or you know, like consuming social media or any kind of media. And it's like a lot of the time people just never slow down and switch off. Like that's, again, it's a big part of like obviously I do fitness coaching, but a lot of it is mindset. And like I love to have them going out for walks with no phone. I'm like, just listen to your what's going on in your head and look at the trees around you. And again, it sounds all woo-woo, but it all comes back to just finding or just listening to yourself, because then you make better decisions later in your day if you know what's going on. You know, if you're just being a bit more proactive with your thoughts rather than reactive.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of the questions I had for you as well, is like people see you on social media and they might say like, oh, she's like glued to the phone. Like, but I think that you are very specific about when the phone is used, and like, you know, you might not take your phone on a walk, you know, but people don't see that. And then they kind of say, oh, she's like, she's always on the phone. Like, how can she talk about meditation when she's like, always doing?
In the last 24 hours, I think I've actually posted a lot on my story. But then when I look at it, I'm like, okay, well, it's probably collectively about 3 minutes, you know, out of 24 hours. Like, it looks like a lot, but it's, you know, it's maybe 20 slides of 15 seconds or something like that. And, you know, so it looks like, and then people think they obviously know me inside out because they think they're watching my whole day. And I'm like, we don't actually see what goes on at all. I mean, not that I have anything interesting I normally am sharing. But yeah, with my phone, I can take it or leave it. Like if you know, I'm working on something or if I'm spending time with people, my phone, just, I can just put it away. I don't feel addicted to it. If I do kind of feel like that, I'd be like, okay, let's take a day off. And we did that, myself and Sinead, that in lockdown, when everything, you know, when you were just consuming so much and so much news and numbers and everything, 4 hours, no phone. And oh my God, it was bliss. You know, just reading, talking, working, walking. And, you know, there's a couple of things, there was like, oh, I need my phone for this. And we were like, we'll manage, we'll survive. And like, I do recommend anyone to do that, because it just, again, it gives you that space in your mind to just listen to your own thoughts or maybe spend time with some other people or, I mean, you know, if they're in your bubble. But yeah, I just think with my phone, I can take it or leave it. At the moment, it's like, I don't have that much else to do, so I do spend a lot of time on it.
And do you, like, you share not a lot, but you share parts of your life more than most people, say, and you have been doing that for a significant amount of time, you know, from people who followed you from the early days when you did live with your parents and you kind of started out and you know, going to competition and prep and like throughout all that and then starting on all your travels and, you know, the whole journey. But do you, what challenges do you see with social media that you're like, you wish that kind of, well, that you've had to kind of work through?
Yeah, I feel like I've been lucky because I've kind of grown with it, you know, compared to, say, somebody coming out of like Love Island and they've, you know, got a load of followers all of a sudden and you're getting in people angles and they don't understand why people would be so mean and everything. I've been at it. It's like I started that account at the end of 2014. So, oh my God, it's already 6 years. I think actually 6 years next week. That's crazy. But I kind of realized, it started as a fitness page to show my progress and, you know, that I can coach people and everything. And it became, like, I realized that I like to show the whole thing. It wasn't just like fitness tips. It was like, I was showing the journey of like me trying to become a personal trainer as well. And, you know, working full time, studying part time, doing my training, doing my food prep. And then, like, I was getting in great shape and people, so shown a bit more of my life, not just tips. And I realized that people were really interested in that. And, you know, or like, say if I had a drink, they'd, you know, I decided to share that rather than trying to hide it. And I've realized that people liked seeing that, where I felt like everyone else I had followed that was like fitness influencer was like typical hashtag fitness, you know, fit fam, never, you know, they only had green food and all that. And it kind of annoyed me that I was like, nobody could actually be doing that all the time. So I decided to, just share my whole life. I mean, obviously if there's anything really that I want to keep to myself, I can, but I just find that I'm quite an open book. I have not much to hide. And then obviously the difficulties come from people then thinking they know you inside out and telling you what to do. And often it comes from a nice place. Like, so most people will send you things and it's coming from, you know, I always think like I would try to avoid or advise people not to send unsolicited advice to people online, especially like they don't realize, like, say, I remember one time in particular, it was icy and I put my car wipers on and I must have got, I was like, oh, look at that, look how cold it is. And I must have gotten so many messages from people like giving out to me, like, wreck your, which is fine. Like, some people are obviously just trying to be nice, but I was like, you don't know what it's like getting like so many messages from people telling you you're an idiot. Like, and so I always try and like, okay, thank you, or please don't, you know, unless it really helps. But the thing is, again, it's coming from a good place. So I would never get angry at someone for doing that. It's like,
yeah.
I'd see it from their perspective. They're just trying to help me. But sometimes I try and share my perspective because it might help someone else. But then,
do you believe in the kind of just ignore the kind of crazy ones as well?
I have people who've like literally just hate me and are just getting out of their way. They're like 99% of my followers, like, I always think like, why does everyone not like me? And I'm like, I see a few people that do. But yeah, there's been one person in particular who's just been at me for the last few years and just waits for me to say something wrong. I know there's threads about me and I just don't look at it, to be honest. I think in that case, ignorance is bliss. And I've a lot of friends who I know who have looked at what people have said, and it's frustrating because you want to correct, like, a lot of it is lies. A lot of it is completely.
It's untrue. It's typically like just lie.
Yeah, so I heard some of the rumors and stuff that have been said about me. I'm like, oh, that's so funny. And I'm like, I'd love to go on my story and like correct them, but then I'm like, no, I just don't want to draw attention to it. It's just like there's no point. And you know, nobody's perfect. Like, I will make mistakes, but it does become like worrying to make a mistake at home when people have cameras out. And like, luckily I haven't done much wrong, but there was things, especially around the pandemic, you know, like, I remember my friend's birthday, she was able to have a people in the garden for her party, and I put up a picture of me and her on her 30th, and everyone's like, oh, no social distancing then. I was like, oh, I actually just forgot, like, for the picture. And then, you know, and like, they were right. Like, I shouldn't have been standing beside her that close. And I was just annoyed at myself. And I'm like, oh, and then you open yourself up for, you know, just loads and loads of comments when people just like to find some, like, when a lot of the times when, say I do make a mistake like that, the majority of comments are coming from people who don't follow me. It's like if they're coming from a thread or coming from somewhere else. So it's like, it's frustrating that I'm like, you don't even know me and you're just like here to give out to me. So a lot of the time, if it was someone who genuinely, you know, who followed me, who was a genuine follower and genuinely thought, you know, wanted to suggest I was doing something wrong, I'd appreciate it. I'd listen to them and I'd reply to them in a rational way. It's just kind of the irrational comments I just ignore. But I'm very much open to having a conversation if it's helpful or if it'll help clear up. Because a lot of the time with my captions, I have to try and word it so carefully, you know, considering it from all different points of views. You know, like, it's very easy for me to be on a beach in Bali going, live your dreams, and, you know, not. I feel like I have to put loads of context behind it, because I have to be aware that someone could be just seeing this for the first time and not know that I'm coming from a place of, you know, trying to inspire people to live a bit differently or something like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and can I ask you, like, when you post the photo of your yourself and your friend together and people were kind of going crazy saying no social distancing, did you acknowledge that? Did you respond, or did you kind of just
remember? I think that one I just was like, oh, sorry, I actually didn't think of it. Like, that was one that I was a bit like, oh, that was just stupid by my part.
Which is fair enough. I mean, everybody makes mistakes.
I always like say, like, you know, that, what do they say that in the Bible? Even though, again, I'm not religious, you know, he who has not sinned cast the first stone. You know, like, everyone's been doing their best in the pandemic, but I just feel like if anyone messes up, they're getting thrown to the wolves online, and it's just not helpful. Like, I just don't think, like, I just don't like the whole cancel culture thing.
And people are obviously very divided. Like, this kind of pandemic has divided people and divided people's opinions and what, you know, people are
things are quite hostile online. Like, even, but to be honest, the reason I came back to Ireland in March is because everyone felt like it felt like the safest place to be, and everyone was in it together. And it really, because it was in Bali, it was it was kind of like the way it is maybe in Ireland now, where, you know, everyone's having differing opinions, and everyone's, some people are, you know, isolating, some people weren't. And it was really difficult here. I was really anxious, and I went back to Ireland, and I was like, I felt so patriotic. I was like, everyone's in this together. I felt so safe. And like, even though I was afraid of making a mistake in terms of, like, someone told me I shouldn't have been out walking on my own when I got home. And I was like, no, I was like, I have the rules. I posted the rules on my story so that no one would tell me what I was doing wrong. But the majority of the time I was like, this is great. Everyone's in it together. But I do think now, and as the things progressed, people started, you know, having different opinions, and it's creating a lot of hostility online and even within families and stuff, you know, like people are disagreeing, and, you know, people are maybe mixing households and others aren't. And it's just really a real mental problem or battle as well as everything else.
Yeah, it does kind of has divided people as well. And like, obviously people have different comfort levels and things like that. It is pretty crazy, but I think you were dead right to go home. Like, yeah, if I had
time, it definitely was the right choice for me then. And then I spent like 5 months in Dublin, and I mean, I was just living in Airbnbs and renting and spending a fortune. And then I was the opportunity to go live in Portugal with my sister. So I did that for 2 months. And again, you know, I actually didn't have many people given out, but like one or two people were like, oh, was Portugal on the green list? And I was like, oh no, but if I do come back to Ireland, I'll have to quarantine. But I just didn't go back.
Yeah.
But yeah, to kind of explain all my life choices.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for, you know, if I see someone doing something that I wouldn't necessarily do, I just say, I'll let them off. Like, let them do what they want. There's a lot to be said for letting people make their own decisions.
I mean, like, I say for your own mental health, that's better. Like, I've seen people get angry. Then I'm like, well, first of all, I'd never actually say it unless I could actually help, or unless, you know, they're doing something where in a situation where I can help. But, you know, like for my own mental health, I'm like, I just don't want to see it.
Yeah,
I was seeing people flouting the rules when I was in isolation, and I remember I had a comment written. It was actually a very particular. It was because I had come home, and we'd rented an Airbnb to go into isolation for 2 weeks, and then I see this video of someone coming home and surprising their parents, their elderly parents, and hugging them, and I was like, and I was so frustrated because I was like, I would love to hug my parents, and. I had this comment written going, oh, some of us have to isolate. And then I was like, do not. You know, like I was able to slow down and go, no, that's you being jealous. You writing something will make absolutely no difference to what they do. You're just causing like whatever hostility. What I'm saying is like, I don't always have, you know, I will often have those thoughts, but I'm able to slow down enough to say like, okay, like to reflect on it. Let's think, why am I feeling like this? And what can I actually do to help myself feel better? And it's like, okay, just block or just mute.
Yeah, it kind of brings it to a full stop, and it stops you kind of spiraling into, you know, being angry with yourself, being upset, being kind of resenting other people. And like doing that on a regular basis, it really can upset your mindset and really can kind of deter you from being like, you know, at peace, really.
I mean, I see a lot of people that, you know, are like gossiping and bitching, and I'm like, do you not realize that that's you that's unhappy? You know, I mean, I mean, I'm as guilty sometimes. Like, I'm not saying I never do it, but I just know that when I'm at peace and content, it's not when I'm giving out about other people. Even if they are doing things wrong, it's like, it's just a lot easier to just worry about what I'm doing, make sure I'm doing the best I can do. And I suppose being accepting of yourself as well, like, you knowing that you will make mistakes and there's no shame. It's just, you can be guilty and sorry, but you don't have to be ashamed of who you are.
Yeah.
I'm off on a different tangent though.
Yeah, no, I mean, we could talk about that all day. I wanted to touch on as well, like for anybody who's listening knows, or who's followed you knows, how much hard work that you put into everything that you want to do. And you mentioned it at the beginning, you know, nothing happens without hard work. But what ways do you stay motivated? Or I know you read a lot of books on different ways to be efficient and different ways to work and to operate. What has kept you kind of steady? Because
it's funny you should say that. I was only thinking today how I basically, like, I'm not very, like, I think I worked very hard at the start, and now, like, I've realized over the last couple of years that it's like my, like, I'm not very money driven. Like, it's just about being happy day to day. So if I can outsource anything, I do. So like my main, like with the coaching, I do anything that has to be me, I do it, but everything else, I have outsourced. And it means obviously spending a lot of money, but it means that I have so much free time. And I think, you know, people, sometimes I feel like it's, I don't know how to say that online, you know, because for a long time I was like hustle and hashtag no team, no sleep, and to get things off the ground, I did. But then I realized that, like, I got to a point where I was working loads and making loads of money, and I was like, but no, I wasn't happy. So that was probably when I started personal training full time, and I was so busy, and I was just like, this can't be it either. Like, that's when I panicked. I was like, I thought this was supposed to be the dream. And I kind of got selfish then and closed my eyes and thought about it. And I was like, I just want to, you know, I had the whole image of the hammock on the beach with the laptop. And then I was like, okay, well, what do I need to do to make that happen? And that's when I was moving the whole business online. I didn't know where that beach would be, but it turns out it's Bali most of the time. But yeah, no, if I, like, there's so many business things that I could do. Like, I just love my coaching. I just feel like I've got it running really well. It's helping people in the right way that I want to help people. And, you know, I could do more work and make more money, but then my lifestyle here is just so perfect. And like, it's not about making more money. It's just about having enough to do what you want to do. So it's probably why I'll never probably have a mortgage, but I've got enough to rent a villa in Bali, which sounds smaller, but it's actually not like it. I think I'm reading like Tim Ferriss's 4-hour work week, and it's all about lifestyle design. And, you know, like, I think people want €1 million so that they can buy things or buy a villa in Bali, when it's like, you can actually just rent one, I don't have a car. Like, it's just my whole perception on money has changed. And I just live so that I have enough to do what I want to do. And if I can help people be happy along the way, I'm like, that's feeling fulfilled to me.
Yeah. So you kind of like reel yourself back in. Like, so say you might be looking at something, or you could say, oh, I could do that, or I could do this and that. But you're kind of saying, well, I don't want to spend my time, like, you know, working my bones off, and I have what I want. Like, I know these are the things I want. I want my villa in Bali. I want to be able to work remotely. And I've kind of structured my life to accommodate that. And that's kind of how you reel it back in.
One of the questions in the book the other day was like, what would you do if you won the lotto, or if you had €1 million or whatever? And I was like, I'd probably get up every day, have a nice coffee, go to Bali MMA, do some Muay Thai, do some CrossFit, have dinner with
exactly what you're doing
on the beach in the sun, lie at the pool all day. So I was like, I don't need to, you know, I want to sustain this lifestyle, but you know, I'm not out to make €1 million. I'm just gonna keep going as I am. And, you know, if I need to adapt my business, I do that. And I have a business partner who will do all the background stuff. But I'm like, I just want to, because I want to focus on the coaching part. Like, I just want to be the person who helps people. And in the long run, I'd love to do, like, I really want to study psychology. But again, I'm not very motivated enough, because that will take up a lot of my free time, which is what I value the most. I have a couple of mad plans. Like, I want to open a coffee shop, but again, not to make money, just to have a place where people can come and meet and bring their laptops and bring dogs.
So the motivation is different behind all these things. It's not to make money or to kind of be seen to be successful. It's kind of saying, this is what I want to spend my time doing.
I mean, it's hard. It's a lot easier to kind of live in that mindset out here. Even when I was home in Ireland, I was kind of like, I found myself buying things that I didn't need, you know, like spending money on like in Brown Thomas where I'm like, what? Like, and I have the bag sitting in front of me now and I'm trying to drive a moped and I have to, I'm like, what am I doing with this fancy bag? Like, what was I thinking? But like at the time it seemed like the most normal thing to do was like treat yourself to that when like, I just, you know, it's like your values change out here. Like I don't really have anything to show for myself. You know, like I'm wearing a dress I bought in H&M probably about 4 years ago. I have my hair in plaits. I have no makeup on. I'm just, it's a simple life, but like sometimes it can seem like it's flashy, but it's not. It's like, I just choose to spend my money differently. So I don't need to earn it either.
Yeah. And it's like the private, the business class or whatever you want to call it, airplane ticket. Like that's a Chanel bag or a Louis Vuitton bag of all the things that you don't have. But I think that it would be more acceptable. You wouldn't have to explain yourself as much if you bought a Louis Vuitton bag.
I know. I was absolutely, the first time I treated myself a couple of years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, to a business class flight with Etihad. And I was terrified to tell anyone. I was like, who do I think I am? But it was one of those things where I was like, life's about experiences, not things. And I'm flying. I had done so many long haul flights back and forth to Thailand. And I was like, and it wasn't a case where I had loads of money where I was like, yeah, do it. It was like, this is a big expense. And I remember like going on my gym gear, my boxing gloves hanging out of my backpack. And it was amazing. And like, to be honest, I was like, I can't go back. So like, yeah, that again, why I don't have a mortgage is because I'm spending all my money on flights and Apple products. But it's the way I want to go. You know, like if people can give out about me spending my money on flights, but I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's what I want to. I'm not doing it to impress. It's more of a comfort. And, you know, if I want to impress people, I'd have, I don't know, a fancy bag. I'd have a nice car, or I wouldn't just drive an old moped. I don't know. About experiences for me.
Yeah, no, and so just before we wrap up, I want to first of all, your whole concept and your whole attitude towards life really ties in with what I'm trying to talk about on this podcast about like human behavior and kind of why people do what they do, and I suppose opening people's minds to different perspectives. So I appreciate you coming up and sharing that. But do you have any, you probably get asked this all the time, but the 4-hour work week was one of the books that you mentioned. Is there any other go-to?
That one I only just started last week. And it's one of those ones that you'd think I would have read by now. It's one of those like typical business books.
Yeah.
I actually never did because I had gotten my work already down to 4 hours. So I was like, it's so valuable. Like if anyone is thinking of changing their lifestyle, it's very valuable, like even just little tips on how to hire a VA and stuff like that. The other books, there's so many different ones, but like one that I think is really important now and is The Chimp Paradox. It's kind of like how to deal with human behavior and conflict. And I just think once you read that and you just, it just makes any kind of conflict you have with anyone a lot easier. A New Earth, game changer.
Absolutely.
And there's so many. Lost Connections is one I've always spoken about, and it's just looking at the subtitle is, I think it's why you're depressed, or it's about like anxiety and depression, but I just think it's such an important book for everyone to read. Like I haven't luckily suffered with anxiety or depression, but the book is so interesting looking at different values, like how you might be feeling unfulfilled and then the importance of social connections, which is very important this year, and how like it can actually lead to mental issues. Like if you don't have proper connections with people or with your job or with life, it's a very good book, Lost Connections.
Yeah. It seems like it's a bit of a sad book, is it? Or is it uplifting?
I don't know. It can be, because now it's a little bit like whenever I recommend a book, I'm like, I don't remember, like it's not that I say take everything as gospel. It's like I think it's an interesting book to read, you know, and then kind of make your own conclusions. You know, he's very anti-medication, but he does bring up some very good points about I suppose it's kind of like, it's kind of a hard one, because it's kind of saying that there's not just a chemical imbalance. It's more than that, which is kind of more difficult to fix. So it can be a little bit like, okay, well, it's not just a quick fix. It's like, okay, well, I need to fix my social connections, which is a lot more difficult. Or, you know, I need to find a fulfilling job, which is, again, more difficult than medication. But I just think it gives a lot of interesting things to think about. Actually, a book I read this year, which was unbelievable, is The Code of the Extraordinary Mind. Highly recommend it. Again, just about living differently, like kind of questioning all the societal rules that we go by and how to just live a fulfilled life. And there was 9 kind of sections of it, and I was just, I loved it. I was like, everyone needs to read this.
Okay. Yeah, I saw you reading that one, and I was like, it definitely seems like something I need to
I haven't heard more people speaking about it. It's very good.
Yeah, because I never, you would make recommendations, but you'd never be like raving about something, because it's like, not to shove things down people's neck or think they're going to take it as gospel, you know, like it's important to kind of,
yeah,
like I like that a lot. Like, it's not true.
Yeah, no, like, because there'd be books that, you know, like I'd get a lot from, but then I'm like, oh, I can't recommend this because they'll think that I agree with that chapter, you know. It's like, you know, it's, you know, people will come on and they'll read a book and be like, hey, you said this book was good, but they said on page 52 that the earth is flat. And I'm like, oh, yeah, but I meant everything else.
Yeah, it's like when I record podcasts, people are like, but that's incorrect. I'm like, yeah, but that's a doctor, and that's what the doctor said. So I'm not endorsing all these opinions.
Like, yeah, I'm like, I think that's what everyone needs. It's like an open mind and more awareness. And I think that's what... That's what the chimp paradox would give you a little bit more of, is just kind of like slowing down and listening to other people and respect and looking for, like, making your own conclusions, but also always seeking more information.
Yeah, and not to jump to conclusions for people, not to jump the gun. And
conclusions are the worst. Like, I was only thinking about it today. Like, I do that. I jump to conclusions. I'm like, oh my God, that girl hates me. And I'm like, why do I think that? I'm like, just because she didn't write back to me. I'm like, you know, like, we do have these kind of conclusions. We have to stop and question yourself. And I mean, that's why I do talk about journaling a lot. It's like, you know, writing down your thoughts and questioning all your thoughts. Like, just asking yourself why or so what. And, you know, I think it's really important to question your thoughts. And I just said that same thing twice.
Yeah. No, I agree. The so what is a good one as well, to kind of say, well, who cares? Like, so what? You know, it doesn't really matter.